It was long, long ago when Indra, the ruler of this universe, who has a very, very high position, or holds a very high position, confronted the leader of the Asuras, Vritasura, in an ultimate fight. This fight would end a long history of conflict, and either Indra would be dead after the fight, or Vritasura. Vritasura clearly gained the overhand in this fight, and he had disarmed Indra. He had beaten his carrier Airavata, who was hurled back many bowling, and was lying on the earth with the head split open. And all of a sudden, as everyone, the rishis, Gandharvas, the Apsaras, the Ribhus, and really everyone in Indra's camp, on Indra's side, expected Vritasura to deal Indra the death blow and end the battle of all battles. Vritasura starts to preach pure Krishna consciousness. In fact, he surprises Indra and all of us by telling a verse which is considered the sum and substance of all the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And Indra is just looking at him with disbelief in his eyes. But as Vrita continues to pray, Indra is really humbled by the exalted spirituality which comes from the mouth of Indra. See, you can never really judge a person until he begins to reveal his heart. Only at the moment when what is in his heart comes out, you know if this person is a good person or if he is not a good person. So by these prayers which come from the core of the heart of Vrita, Indra knows that this is a much greater personality and devotee than I will ever be. So we heard the first prayer yesterday, and I will start now with the next three prayers. But before, I would like to offer my obeisances to my exalted spiritual master and by a few personalities. Remember, we are in a seminar on the Bhagavatam, and the Bhagavatam, in order to happen and manifest itself, requires a certain culture. Just like a seed, in order to grow into a tree, must have fertile earth. So the Bhagavatam can only, so to say, manifest its glories with the culture. One part of the culture is that at the beginning one must offer his obeisances to one's spiritual master and Narayan Rishi, the goddess of learning, Saraswati, and the Lord. So please join me. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vishaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namah.
Namaste Sarasvate Gauravani Vachaye Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Ashyadaye Shadaye
Sri
Krishna Devananda of Srila Vyasadeva. And it's very interesting. The roof of his cave is composed of layers of stone. If you look at these layers of stone, they look really like a book with many pages which is looked upon. I really can't say it in English. I can't even say it in German. You know, from the side, not from the front, but there you can see the pages. And it is there where the whole scenario of Bhagavatam is. There is the cave of Vyasadeva, the cave of Ganesh, his scribe, and there is nearby the sacred river Sarasvati, and the appearance place of Naranarayan Rishis, incarnations of the Lord. I remember I was once, I was there, and then I came to some pandits. There were some scholars, and they looked upon me and said, "Now you are Hare Krishna Hare Ram, do you know the Bhagavatam? This is the scriptures of the Vaishnavas. I think you are from the West, you don't know this, no?" And they they looked at me like lions look upon a mouse. And the situation I do not appreciate it at all. When I have to show Prabhupada actually gave us the culture of the Bhagavatam. And I remember I said, "My dear Pandits, I will now recite some verses, and then you decide what is it." I'm not famous for knowing many verses, but I knew this verse: Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Cheva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udhirayat. It is an invocation to the to Narayanam, to Lord Narayan, to whom obeisances are given, and to Goddess Sarasvati, the goddess of learning, and Narayan Rishis, powerful incarnations of Lord Narayan. It says, Tato Jaya Udhirayat, by their mercy will they be victorious. And they caught the subtlety which I wanted to express with this verse.
that yes, but on our own strengths we are really poor Westerners. But if there is an empowerment by Lord Narayan, by Goddess Saraswati, and Lord Narayan reaches them, we will be victorious over all obstacles, even being a Westerner. And they were excusing themselves profoundly afterwards, they had tears in their eyes. You know, these are very learned persons. You can talk very subtly to them and they will understand. I chanted some other prayers also, so that they really, you know, this is, when you fight with a gorilla, you have to hit him like a gorilla hits you. When you fight with a pandit, you have to fight with the mind. So it became very, very friendly, very nice. The Bhagavatam culture is a culture of empowerment. And therefore, at the beginning of a recital, at the beginning of all lectures, the speaker will request his exalted spiritual master and some other divine personalities to empower him. So let us now really take an ego perspective. You believe the planet Earth become to a universal battlefield somewhere in outer space, very, very far away from us, and we see two opponents, and we now zoom in to this giant who is higher than this rock there, and this towering giant, Vritasura, who has reddish hair, stands away from him like the hair of the mane of a lion. And he now says his second verse. Are you ready?
Yes.
Please be ready.
Nachapalameshkyam nasalvabhuman narasadipatyam na yoga siddhir apunabhavam va samanya sajva virahaya kamshe.
O my Lord, he turns away from Indra, he turns away from weaponry, he turns to the Lord. You are the source of all opportunities. Mark how he addresses the Lord. Source of all my opportunities. I do not desire to enjoy in Dhruva Loka, the heavenly planets, or the planet where Lord Brahma resides. There was a conversation between the Lord and he's responding, and he's responding to a point, says Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. In his first prayer, he had said, "My Lord, I want to go back to you and stand a little bit behind your servants. I want to be a servant of those servants. And serve you with my body and mind." And the Lord says, why don't you like to do this? There are so many nice things I could offer you. Being a servant, this is not so nice. You could enjoy in the heavenly planets of Lord Brahma or Dhruva Loka. Or maybe you want to be the king of Earth. It's also not bad. Or maybe you want to be a mystic yogi who can fly in the sky without touching the earth and creating whatever he wants. Tell me, I can give you. And therefore he says, "Oh my Lord, you're the source of all opportunities. I know that you can give everything to me. But as far as I am concerned, really, genuinely, in German we say echt, I do not desire to enjoy Indruva Loka, nor the heavenly planets or the planet where Lord Brahma resides. No! Nor do I want to be the supreme ruler of all the earthly planets. No! Or the lower planetary system. Really, no. I do not desire to be the master of the powers of mystic yoga. Nor do I want liberation if I have to give up your lotus feet. So to convince the Lord, who is testing and teasing sometimes his devotee, said, why not take this? Why take bhakti? Be clever. He takes something else. You know? To convince him, he launches right into his third very devotional address. Now, he says, he gives him an example. My Lord, I wish to serve you. And I yearn to for you like baby birds who have not yet developed their wings. That means they sit in the nest. They yearn always for the mother bird. Just let us for a moment concentrate on this example, my dear devotees. Have you ever seen these little birds? They make this noise. When you come close and you see them, and when you look at them, it's only one big mouth and something red inside. Huh? Yeah. Have you ever seen?
Yeah.
In spring, maybe oxygen is required. So this bird is waiting there, trembling in the nest. After all, also owls, which are the predators of these little birds, could hear and could come as trembling. It's crying like this and waits for the mother to come to feed it. The bird has no strength on its own to get food. It has to wait for some more years, not years, weeks maybe, until it can leave the nest. But for now it is confined. It is absolutely 100% in every respect dependent on the mother. So I'm like this, says Vrita. I'm so dependent on you. I can't move without you. And I cannot survive without you. Then he thinks this example is really limited. Because the bird is just waiting. It's not approaching the mother. But I wish to approach my Lord. So he thinks of something else. He thinks just like a calf. Tied with the ropes, awaits anxiously the time of milking, when it will be allowed to drink the milk of the mother. This is how I wait for you. Once when I was in Vrindavan, the end of last year, we went to Kedarnath in Braj to offer some prayers. After this, we were in a beautiful forest ashram where we took our prasadam, our meals, and we sat in a goshala. It was up or outside the goshala. It's sometimes not so easy in Vrindavan to know where something starts and where something ends. It's all into the, they live really, they know how to live in friendship. So I saw this very beautiful cow with a udder full of milk, and then not far away from it, a calf which was tied, and the calf was tearing at the robe because it wanted to approach its mother and drink the milk. And the mother saw the calf wanting to come to it and drink it all. Her motherly bava went into her udder, and at this moment the cowherd man came, because now the milk was easily accessible, and put it into a bucket. The calf was just hearing the sound and smelling the milk of mother, and was just tearing at the robe. That it was such a scene of hankering, in the mood of deep set longing and separation, that I can never forget. And this is Vritasura picks up this example and says the bird is a little passive. It's in the nest. It just goes tsk, tsk, tsk. But I want to come to you like the calf who tears. I mean, the calf was almost, I was thinking, it rips away its head. It was so eager to come there. You know, the rope was just not really cutting, but it was coming into the neck, and the calf was going, this is how I want to be, want to come to you. Really eager. Now he thinks, this is also not a good example, because something, the element of service is missing. It is an increased longing. This example gives us an understanding of an increased longing. But the calf just goes at one stage when it's led free to the mother and just drinks and enjoys the gifts of the mother. But I just don't want to enjoy my Lord, I want to serve him. So then he thinks of another example. He thinks of the example of a housewife. I know this is maybe not so much the case any longer. We have many, the modern times, the affection is not always there so strongly, but old times, very strong. The housewife is waiting in her house. She cannot go outside. She waits for her husband to return from a long journey. And her thoughts are focused on her husband. She thinks when he comes, he will be very tired from the long journey, and I wish to satisfy him in all respects. I will cook his favorite preparations, I will tidy the house that he can take some rest, and I will also please him in any way which is conducive to him. So in the same way, says Vritasura, as a morose wife whose husband is away from home always longs for him to return and satisfy her in all respects, I always yearn for the opportunity to render direct service unto you. I want direct service for you, my Lord. This is what my heart wants. My heart is tortured by a desire to serve you. This is Viraha Bhakti, the highest type of bhakti which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us. I remember once in Paris, Prabhupada taught us this bhakti also. It was a memorable event. He had been given Bhagavatam classes, but then one day he said, I will teach you a song. Oh, that's something good. Song, yes. What is the song? And I do not remember so clearly, because being in Prabhupada's presence was sometimes very overwhelming. You were just in an ocean of emotions. Sometimes you felt very humbled. You felt sometimes overwhelmed with bliss. It was a pure devotee. of that caliber did something to you. So I only remember he said, I will sing, I'll teach you a song, and then the next moment, which I can remember, we were in one room, and he was singing the song, the Sat Gosvam Yastakam. We had sheets of paper with the text, and we were following him and in this way learning the song. And then he came to this song, He Ra, He Braje, Raja Devi Ke Chalarite, He Nanda Suro Kuta. Many of you must be knowing this, where the mood of the Goswami is described. They were in Vrindavan, and they would say, where are you, Krishna, son of Maharajnanda? Where are you, Radharani? Are you now with Lalita and Vishaka at the banks of the Yamuna? Or are you maybe at the sacred Govardhan Hill? They were always searching for Krishna. Prabhupada explained, they were not saying, I have found you. They were asking, where are you? Like this. He explained that this is the mood. And in another text he says, this is what we in the Krishna consciousness movement should learn as a mood, how to approach the Lord. And Vritasura says this, I'm like a wife. He gives three increasing examples of longing for the Lord. The bird who longs for the mother, the calf who longs for the cow, and the wife who longs for her husband. It gets more and more and more intense. And it is this mood which you need to imbibe in Krishna consciousness. So I believe, now let me see, my dear devotees. Yes. When Indra heard these prayers of Vritasura, he had a shift in consciousness. Before that, he was wanting to kill Vritasura, and he saw that Vritasura had disarmed him by taking the Shakti weapon which he had heard of Vritasura and then hurling it back and almost killing Ayyavata and him. He had feared Indra, but now he had feared Vritasura, but now Indra was adoring Vritasura. He went through a transformation of emotions. This is the greatest of all devotees. I can't attack him. I have to give up my aggressive mentality to serve him. On the other hand, Vritta became more and more desperate. He felt, I want to shed this body of a demon, which is so useless for what I really wish to do, that is the 100% bhajan of my Lord, the 100% worship of my Lord. I want to give up this burden and take on my a real form, my svarupa. Sva means one's own, rupa means form, the real identity. And I want to serve my Lord free from the limitations of this material body. Imagine, my dear devotees, you would not be tired in the morning. Imagine, my dear devotees, you would never have any problems in understanding that you are an eternal soul, Sachi Ananda. Imagine, you would not have to eat and then spend these embarrassing minutes in the dark room. where you need assistance to be relieved from this smell which you create. Imagine you would be in your swarup, full of eternal bliss and knowledge, and the only emotion you really would know is ecstatic love. Just imagine this. Can you imagine? Oh, is it too early in the morning before breakfast to entertain such thoughts? And Vritta, this was very clear in his mind. He wanted to be there, and he wanted to share his life like a snake who wants to shed its body in which it dies. So now he understood Indra will not kill me. He stands there before me and wants to do Guru Puja or Vaishnav Homa, Vaishnav sacrifice, and I will never go back to Godhead if he doesn't take that weapon, this Raja, which was given to him by Lord Narayan, who plans to take me to him by letting Indra use this divine weapon and kill me. If I don't really get on his case now and make him so angry and mad at me that he will forget his worship. It's almost, normally devotees are very kind to each other, but when they come in a situation in which it's tempting and the situation boils, then they may sometimes forget for some time their reverential feelings, and they may attack each other with unkind words and unkind actions. This can sometimes happen when one is not so fixed in bhakti, that one is by circumstance torn out of one's real intention, one's real understanding, and then becomes aggressive. Imagine any situation of conflict. Two parties are at loggerhead, and you would say, freeze frame. Just understand, my dear parties, you are all eternal servants of Krishna. You are very dear to Lord Krishna. You are Sachidananda Vigraha. The issue about which you are disagreeing is Maya, is illusion. Now, where would be the aggression at that time? It would be gone. But sometimes circumstances cover the pure knowledge of devotees also, and then they say unkind words and do unkind thoughts about themselves. So Vritta understands, if I don't get on his case now, then I will not go back to Godhead, and therefore he again talks to him. And listen to how he talks to Indra now, and understand his motive. Oh, personification of sin, he says, your last moment has come. With this, he took up his powerful trident and pointed it at Indra. It came flying like a meteor through the sky. It sparkled with black tantric energy. Indra knew, oh my God, the trident is coming. And he took the weapon of Vishnu and threw it, and the trident was scattered. And it cut off one arm of Vritta. with a thumping noise, that arm fell on the ground and blood started gushing out of the womb. But Vritta was not discouraged. He took up an iron mace which was lying nearby, jabbed at Indra and beat him on the jaw so severely that Indra had so much pain that he dropped the Lord's Raja and it fell on the ground. It was hurting so much. This time the demigod screamed, "Alas! Alas! 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 Indra will be finished now." This attack came so unexpected, because after all, Indra had cut one arm. A normal person can't fight when one arm is cut, but Vritta was just very enthusiastic to go back to Godhead. So there was the Raja. Vritta said, "What will you do now? Take up the Raja! Kill me! If you don't do this, I will devour you. I will spit you out." And he really gets aggressive. I don't want to repeat it because maybe we have pregnant ladies here. But he talks so evil. I've written it all down for another audience, but you are too elevated. And so on. And finally, Indra makes a half-hearted attempt and cuts off his other arm, but Vritta really is no longer caring about the body. He's no longer identified. He's such a great devotee. He jumps forward. Normal great devotees don't do this, but he jumps forward and swallows Indra and Airavata alive. As it was a fighting technique never used before. I have not seen it in any ever. I mean, I have seen when I was a child Muhammad Ali in action, but he didn't use this technique. I'm sorry, maybe I should not dwell on these things. And understanding that it's all over now, Vritta lies down and he starts to meditate about the Lord of his heart. And the Lord comes to him at this moment in his sweet Syam Sundar form, and praying to the Lord, "Take me, take me," he leaves the body. At this moment, Indra, who's in the stomach of Vritasura, remembers one very powerful mantra, the Narayan Kavacham. He chants it, he takes all his strength, and he comes with Airavata flying out of the stomach of Vritasura. He's in the air, he takes the weapon, and he begins to attack the dead Vritta. And it takes him 100 years to do what he intends to do. For 100 years in his time circulation, one year, he attacks the neck of Vritasura until after 1 year, finally his head is cut off from his shoulders and it rolls on the ground. And Vritta and Indra comes to his senses. You know, when fighting is going on, you are overcome by passion. Now the head falls like a mountain top, which is cut from by Indra, and comes on the earth. And everyone goes, "Jai, Jai, Jai." Only Indra shakes and cries tears. He has just
killed the greatest of all Vaishnavas.
When it's, let's say everyone shouted Jai, but then they look at Indra and they don't want anything to do with him. The rishis who said to Indra, we will do, you feel this, Britta, we know it's a conflicting person. No one really knows about this person, so everything. If you are afraid that you will hit him, or because he's a devotee, we will do an ashwamedha yagya for you and take off the sin. But they think at the moment when Vritasura is on the battlefield and his body shines because of his Krishna consciousness, they all turn away from Indra. Indra is all alone. He stands alone in the rain, as we say in German. Allein gelassen im Regen. And Indra knows what will come. Sin will come. The sinful reactions will come. And he just can't. He just shakes, and all of a sudden he sees this woman approaching him on the road. She is covered with white cloth, and she constantly coughs. What is that disease where you cough and red blood comes out? And that's all full of blood. It's a personified sin. It is, oh no! And flies into the air, hoping to escape her, but she starts flying also and comes after him. Sinful reactions follow you like a calf follows the cow. You can't escape, but it will always catch up with you. So Indra finally understands, I must take shelter. I must take shelter. I must take shelter. And he comes to Mount Kailash. He dives into the Manasarovar Sea, a lake. It's a holy lake where all the holy waters are, and hides in the stem of a lotus flower, the place of Mother Lakshmi. And he prays to the Lord. It takes him a long time until finally his penalty is over, and the rishis come and take him out of the lotus flower and install him back in the heavenly planets. My dear devotees, I want to end here. I want to tell you what is my personal fascination with this pastime, and then I want to tell you what is the fascination of the tradition with this pastime. Since I'm small, I am very fascinated with the dual, the two sides of human existence. That is, on one side, the longing for the Lord, which everyone has. We have in Germany a saying that there are no atheists in the war trench. When the right circumstances are there, where the human understands that he is, human being understands that he is limited and cannot solve all his existential dilemmas, he will always turn to God. This was so annoying to Jean-Paul Sartre, the existentialist from France, that he exclaimed in utter frustration that the human being seems to be cursed to be a religious being. He saw it as a curse that no one can really be an atheist, given that a situation of helplessness is appearing. So since I started to read Sigmund Freud, really, I became fascinated with that yearning in all of us for the Lord, and at the same time an equally and sometimes even stronger desire to enjoy separately from Him. When I became more grown up, I watched a movie which totally fascinated me. It is coming from the material of it comes from Louis Stevenson. Louis Stevenson is an author of bird literature, and one night he was screaming in his bed, and his wife went to him and woke him up, and Stevenson looked at her and said, "Why did you wake me up? I've just written the first three chapters. I've just seen the first three chapters of a damn good novel." You know the novel, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, which addresses the dual nature of our human existence. A very good doctor, Dr. Jekyll, could understand. Just like I have two brain halves, I seem to have two natures. One is, I want to help humanity. I want to serve them. But another nature pulls me to selfish and sometimes eccentric enjoyments. People applaud me because I am a doctor who does research and brings medicine forward. But if they would only know what dark desires lurk in my psyche. So I want to separate the good so that I can be super good. And let me separate the bad so that I don't have the bad any longer. And then he started to develop... Anyways, I don't want to tell you the whole story, but it's that he separated his bad nature by taking a chemical inside, and then he transformed into an evil person. The good Dr. Jekyll became the evil Mr. Hyde. So when I saw this as a young, impressionable teenager, I thought, exactly, this is our nature. We have the two sides in us. Now, in this guitar, we hear that there is a great devotee inside who acts from the outside in not ways which we should, this would not come in Bhakti Charu Maharaj's Vaishnava Sadacha course. You know, he acts really wild, he attacks, he throws such language at Indra that it makes you shudder when you hear this and so on. And what we see is in this kata that because he took shelter in Krishna, the good side in him, the great devotee side, became so overwhelmingly good that he went back to Godhead. My dear devotees, there's hope for you. We all as devotees have this tremendously good, let me say, potential. And there's sometimes outside of us these disturbing tendencies which we have. We may be envious that, oh, this devotee is so much more intelligent than me. Yesterday I saw, I was in a class and I thought I could never give such a good class. I'm just too foolish and cannot bring all the points together like this. And I felt, I did not feel envy by Krishna's mercy because the Vaishnava is such an exalted Vaishnava. Who can envy such a Vaishnava? But sometimes envy, sometimes, oh, I'm so useless. Not such, you know, we all have our dark history, you know. But if you strengthen the devotional part in you, that part which is attracted to Krishna, that good part, it will win victory over the bad part. by Krishna's mercy. And this brings me to the last point in my little workshop on the Bhagavatam. There is a verse in the Bhagavatam where this is highlighted. It says, Srimata Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridyantasto Hyavadanani Vidunoti Surifatam. It says, when you hear Srimata Svakata, the wonderful narration of Lord Krishna, then the Lord, who is the super soul in everyone's heart, cleanses the avadranis, the inauspicious things, from the heart. For sure. This is what Dr. Jekyll was missing. He should not have taken a chemical to take the bed, to separate the bedside from him. He should have heard the Bhagavatam, the good Dr. Jekyll. He could then, a strength superior to all other strengths would be released. That is the mercy of the Lord in the heart, the mercy of the super soul, who would go in the heart and do the job which no human being can do alone, that is to take all the avadranis, the inauspicious anattas, out of the heart. Hear more about Krishna, then the bad qualities will go. It's like this. Because the Lord will be pleased, he will be understand. This person has developed an interest in me. That's why he hears in me. I will now help him. He is a little helpless. Let me now help him. And he will take the avadrani. And when Krishna takes the broom and sweeps your heart, all the dirt will go. It must go, because his strength is greater than all other strengths. This is why this Vrita Sura Katha, which is, I was not able to go really into the depths of it. I want to do it at Govardhan, but Govardhan is so existential, the subject. Govardhan, when there's a Govardhan retreat, I've prepared like here 50 pages of notes on this, but I don't think it's possible to do it in Vrindavan, because then we want to hear about Krishna pure, you know. It's, I don't know when to do it, but it takes a little more than to cover all the fine points. But the main fine point is hear the Bhagavatam, and the Lord will become active and help you. I thank you very much. It was a great pleasure and honor to talk to you. I'm always a little nervous because I said that my god brothers are there and they know so much more and are so much better. They can speak English properly and everything is there in their abilities and their toolbox. I'm a little nervous. I hope you have derived some transcendental pleasure and inspiration. I wish you all the best. Time is up. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Premanandi, Hare Krishna.